Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Defiance Till Death by Robert L. Arnold is a compact collection of essays, poems, and polemical writing centered on American political hypocrisy, Southern dissent, working-class struggle, racial justice, and democratic resistance. Public descriptions position Arnold as a writer, poet, speaker, and activist from Helena, Arkansas. And the book reflects that identity through a forceful Southern voice, rather than a detached academic style. Its stated purpose is not simply to criticize patriotism, capitalism, and sanitized historical memory, but to reframe anger, grief, hope, and joy as forms of civic energy. The book belongs to a hybrid tradition of protest literature, combining lyric expression with direct argument and satirical confrontation. Because it is not widely reviewed in depth, its most reliable interpretation should remain focused on its clearly described aims, exposing contradictions in American public life, speaking to disillusioned readers, and offering resistance as both moral stance and emotional practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, American hypocrisy as the central target of critique, the book is presented as an attack on the gap between American ideals and American realities. Its targets include patriotic language that avoids historical accountability, capitalism that intensifies inequality, and public narratives that smooth over violence, exploitation, and exclusion. This focus places Defiance Till Death within a tradition of protest writing that treats national identity as something contested rather than settled. The value of this approach is that it does not treat hypocrisy as a minor moral failure. It frames hypocrisy as a political mechanism that allows institutions and citizens to celebrate freedom while ignoring who is denied it. By combining essays, poems, and polemics, Arnold can move between accusation, reflection, satire, and emotional pressure. That mixed form matters because hypocrisy operates both intellectually and emotionally. It is sustained by stories people accept, symbols they repeat, and discomfort they avoid. The book appears designed to interrupt that comfort and make contradiction visible. Secondly, a Southern dissenting voice rooted in place and class. Arnold is described as writing from the perspective of a Southern poet and activist, and that regional identity is central to the book's positioning. The American South is often reduced either to nostalgia or condemnation, but Defiance Till Death appears to use Southern experience as a site of political clarity. Its concerns with working-class struggle, racial justice, and democracy suggest a voice shaped by communities that have lived close to poverty, racial hierarchy, labor precarity, and contested memory. This matters because political critique can become abstract when it ignores place. A Southern frame brings history into daily life monuments. Churches, workplaces, schools, family memory, and local speech all become part of how power is maintained or challenged. The book's plain-spoken tone also distinguishes it from more academic accounts of similar themes. Its likely force comes from treating dissent not as an imported ideology, but as something native to people who understand betrayal, endurance, and survival. Thirdly, hybrid form as a method of political pressure. Defiance Till Death is described as a collection of essays, poems, and polemics, a structure that shapes how its politics work. Essays can develop argument, connect historical patterns, and name systems of power. Poems can condense anger, grief, tenderness, and defiance into sharper emotional language. Polemics can reject false neutrality and force moral distinctions into the open. By using all three modes, the book avoids relying on a single persuasive strategy. This is important for a subject like American contradiction, which is not only a question of facts, but also of feeling, memory, and allegiance. A strictly analytical book might explain injustice without reaching the reader's emotional commitments. A purely lyrical book might evoke pain without clarifying its political causes. Arnold's hybrid format appears to seek both force and flexibility. It can confront readers, console them, provoke them, and give language to frustrations that conventional civic discourse often treats as excessive or impolite. Fourthly, hope and joy as active forms of resistance. One of the book's most distinctive ideas, as described in its public materials, is that hope is not passive comfort but an instrument of defiance. This reframing matters because protest literature can easily become trapped in diagnosis, naming oppression without explaining how people continue to act under pressure. Defiance Till Death appears to treat hope as a disciplined refusal to let systems of domination control the emotional horizon. Joy is similarly presented not as escape from politics, but as a refusal to let tyranny determine the full meaning of life. That idea has practical implications. It suggests that resistance is sustained not only through outrage, but also through communal feeling, humor, tenderness, and the ability to imagine a future beyond collapse. The book, therefore, speaks to readers who are politically angry but emotionally exhausted. Its argument is not that suffering should be ignored, but that despair can become another form of surrender if it is allowed to define all possibilities. Lastly, a people-centered record of the present moment. The book is described as stitching together a people-centered history of the present, which suggests that it treats contemporary American life as something future readers may need to understand from below rather than from official accounts. This kind of writing values the experiences of the disillusioned, the angry, the working class, and those who feel excluded from respectable political conversation. Its importance lies in the way it challenges who gets to narrate national decline, democratic struggle, and social crisis. Official histories often emphasize institutions, leaders, elections, and policy. A people-centered account looks instead at what those forces feel like in ordinary life: fear, resentment, solidarity, fatigue, stubbornness, and moral clarity. Defiance Till Death appears to preserve that register. It does not claim neutrality as its main virtue. Instead, it makes partiality visible and uses it as evidence that political life is lived through bodies, communities, memories, and choices, not only through formal events. In conclusion, Defiance Till Death is best suited for readers drawn to contemporary protest writing, Southern political voices, working class commentary, racial justice, and literature that blends argument with emotional intensity. It may be especially useful for readers who want language for frustration with American public myths, but do not want a purely academic treatment of those issues. Its practical benefit is less about step-by-step organizing guidance and more about moral clarification. It helps frame anger as something that can be examined, directed, and connected to hope rather than left as private exhaustion. Intellectually, the book offers a way to think about patriotism, capitalism, historical memory, and democracy as contested realities rather than settled slogans. As what makes it stand out from similar books is its hybrid form and regional grounding. Many political books rely on research synthesis, policy analysis, or memoir. Arnold's collection appears to work through a sharper combination of poem, essay, and polemic, with a Southern voice that foregrounds place, class, and plain speech. Its distinctiveness lies in treating defiance not only as protest against power, but also as an emotional and imaginative practice that includes joy, tenderness, and refusal. If you would like to support Robert L. Arnold, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.